This is the Darlington and District Talking newspaper on Wednesday, the 24th of June, 2026. Hi, this is Jed Callaghan on the hottest day of the year so far, bringing you your Talking newspaper. With me in the studio this week, we have our readers Felicity Stevenson and John Dunn. Your news editor is Andy Brown, and the magazine comes to you from Maureen Gorman. We also have some What's On from Kate Grogan. No special announcements this week, so we'll go straight into What's On. Tuesday, June the 30th, 7:30pm at Darlington Hippodrome. Across the Universe is a celebration of the Beatles' studio years, 1966 to 1970. This unique show featuring live band and orchestra is a must-see for all Beatles fans. Tickets are from £23. Friday the 3rd of July, between 7:30pm and 11pm, at the Forum Music Centre in Darlington, Any Street Band, Bruce Springsteen. Expect a certain song about the US of A, along with, of course, other iconic hits, big rock tracks, reworked acoustic versions, Sega Sessions tracks, and a few fans' favourites and surprises along the way. Tickets are £12, available on reception, the website, or by calling Darlington 363 135. Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of July between 9am and 5pm at the DCS Showground Thornley Hall Farm, Thornley in Durham, Durham County Show. Includes Red Dragon Monster Truck Rides, Shetland Pony Racing, British Show Jumping, Seaborn Vikings Reenactment Village, Strut Your Mutt Dog Show, On Point Archery, Birds of Prey Display, Tractor Show, and much, much more. Tickets in advance and online are cheaper. One-day tickets are adults £10, children £5, OAPs £8. For more information, go to www.durhamcountyshow.com. Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of July from 11am to 5pm each day, Kirkleatham Museum near Redcar in Cleveland. Festival of Thrift. Across two packed days, visitors can roam the grounds and enjoy outdoor performances, hands-on workshops, interactive installations, pre-loved fashion and market stalls from independent makers. It's all about living well, getting inspired and caring for our planet while having loads of fun. Expect a mix of thrifty favourites, including the beloved Best in Show, and new surprises. There's plenty to see, do, make and explore for all ages. Whether you love crafting, dressing up, or discovering new ways of treading lightly on this planet, this festival is full of opportunities to get involved. Entry is free and you're welcome to bring a picnic or enjoy delicious food and drink on site. And finally, the 5th of July between 3pm and 6pm, Proms in South Park, Darlington. No tickets are required, but event goers are encouraged to arrive early to secure their spot. This yearly event raises funds for the Army Benevolent Fund. And just your regular reminder now of the time to put on your lights and draw your curtains. We're just beyond the longest day of the year, so sunset now is at about 9:45pm, so that's the time to bear in mind. And now it's time for the news, which comes to you, as ever, with kind permission of North of England newspapers. You're listening to the Darlington District Talking Newspaper. And your news headlines for the week of the 24th of June. Second snake found at Darlington Golf Course, a little worrying. Couple open up on 14 years of fostering children. Durham Women FC saved as takeover deal approved. And rapist with explosive temper jailed for 30 years.
Hello, this is Felicity Stevenson. We start with second snake found at Darlington Golf Course, a little worrying. A Darlington golf club has been left shocked by a second and bigger boa constrictor found on its course within a week. It has prompted staff to consider changing how they manage parts of the course to stop snakes setting up home in the long grass. Blackwell Grange Golf Club pro Aaron Cox said the latest discovery was made at about 9:15 a.m. on Saturday, June the 20th, when members searching for a ball near the fifth fairway came across another large boa. He said it was found in almost exactly the same spot as a six-foot-long boa constrictor a week earlier. "It was in a very similar area to where we found the first one," Mr. Cox said, "a little bit further in the longer grass. The members found it when searching for a golf ball. This was bigger than the first one." The snake was spotted near a boundary fence close to a lane that is accessible to the public, which Mr. Cox admitted was a little bit worrying. He added that the safety of both golfers and the animals themselves were the club's main concern. As with the first incident, staff managed to coax the reptile into a box before taking it to Coast Exotics, a specialist pet shop in Darlington. However, the shop has now told the club it has no more space to house additional snakes, leaving Blackwell Grange facing a dilemma if another boa appears. In the short term, the club is planning to speak to council officials and to look at cutting back the rough down the right-hand side of the fifth fairway, where both snakes have been found, in the hope that shorter grass will make the area less attractive as a hiding place. "We might have to look at changing our cutting to that long grass being a lot shorter to make sure the snakes don't start setting up home in the long grass where it's cosy and warmer," Mr. Cox said. "Hopefully, that'll be the end of seeing snakes out on the golf course at Blackwell Grange."
Hello, John Dunn here. Couple open up on 14 years of fostering children. A Darlington man who recalled the fear and uncertainty of growing up in care is determined that no child he and his wife foster will face the same experience. Ruth and Steve Banner have spent 14 years opening their home to some of the most vulnerable children, offering short-term respite and emergency placements to those who need somewhere safe to stay. Ruth says the couple are committed to giving the children somewhere safe to breathe again, and for Steve, it is also about making sure no child feels as alone as he once did. Steve said his own childhood is always at the forefront when a new child arrives. "Growing up in the system in the 1950s and 60s was," he says, "a very different experience to the support available now." He said, "I know what it's like to be moved around, not to have much say. That is one of the reasons I was so open to fostering. I never want a child to feel as alone as I did. For me, this is about giving something back. I cannot change what happened to me, but I can help make things a bit better for the children who come through our door." Ruth, 63, said she had just left her self-employed sales job and wanted something that felt more like than just paying the bills. Her brother and sister-in-law were already foster carers, and her husband, Steve, now 73, had grown up in care. So the idea for the couple was something they felt they were meant to do. Ruth said, "I went along to an information event and just felt really drawn to it. It did not feel like a huge leap." Since the couple were approved, children of all ages have arrived at their Darlington home, sometimes with only an hour or two notice and with just a bag to their name. Ruth said, "You see it the moment they come through the door. They have lost everything that feels familiar, and it is not their fault. They might have moved house, changed school, left their friends behind, lost regular contact with grandparents or cousins. Sometimes they have had to leave everything they own behind." Before every new arrival, Ruth goes upstairs and gets the room ready, complete with fresh bedding and a small welcome package, including toiletries and a soft toy. She said, "Those little things matter. They tell a child, somebody thought about you before you got here and this is your space now. With food, I think people underestimate how important it is. If they are used to a particular pizza from the other side of town, we will go there and get it. It might sound like a small thing, but when everything else has changed, keeping one tiny part of their routine can make them feel just that bit safer. Ruth said she is clear that fostering is not about trying to fix a child. She said, you have to accept children where they are. You are not there to change them or erase what they have been through. Your job is to provide somewhere safe, to keep firm boundaries, to love them and encourage them and give them opportunities. Patience is absolutely essential. You need support around you too, from family, from your fostering agency, from social workers. It is a team effort, and you cannot do it on your own. Steve's childhood in care has created a better understanding for when a child is upset or acting out, as he often recognises part of his younger self. He said, my past makes me more patient. I can remember how it felt not to be listened to. I do not want any child here to feel like their voice does not matter. You have to be firm, because children will run rings around you if they do not have boundaries, but everything has to come from a place of care and understanding.
Durham Women FC saved as takeover deal approved. Durham Women FC have been saved from extinction after South Shields owner Jeff Thompson completed a takeover of the WSL 2 side. It ends a three-week fight for survival, which plunged the football club's future into doubt. The takeover was announced on Tuesday, June the 23rd, following approval from WSL bosses, with players and staff now assured of their futures ahead of the coming season. With a decision required within a matter of days, the overriding priority was to safeguard Durham Women FC and protect its long-term future, Mr. Thompson, 64, said. Mr. Thompson, from South Shields, became chairman of the town's club in 2015 and oversaw a period of renewal for the Mariners, culminating in a National League North playoff final appearance last season. He will now oversee Durham Women's WSL2 with the help of business partner Jason Yeh. We firmly believe the club plays a crucial role within the local community and deserves every opportunity to grow, progress and succeed, Mr. Thompson said. Together, we share a strong belief in the future of women's football. The women's game continues to grow at an exceptional pace, and we are confident that Durham Women FC is well positioned to be part of this exciting journey. Lee and Dawn Heppel retain a minor stake in the club. Previous investors, Euro Millions winners Patrick and Francis Connolly, are no longer shareholders. Dawn Heppel, co-founder of Durham Women FC, said, we're delighted to have Jeff and his team stepping up and securing an exciting future for the club. The support we've received from our staff, players and supporters throughout this process has been incredible, and we're truly grateful for it. We would also like to thank Patrick and Francis Connolly for their invaluable support over the past 3 years, which has helped the club reach this stage. Durham have revealed they did not have sufficient funds to operate in a fully compliant way in WSL2 and said they faced folding in 21 days without fresh backing. The Wildcats said prolonged talks with potential investors had collapsed and they were actively seeking either significant investment or a full takeover. A spokesman for the Department for Culture, Media and Sport described the crisis as extremely worrying after Durham MP Mary Kelly Foy warned losing the team would be far more than the disappearance of a football club. In a letter to ministers, she said the collapse of Durham Women would be a devastating blow to the region and a pathway into elite football. It is understood the issue was also raised with North East Mayor Kim McGuinness. Ms. Foyle hailed news of the investment, saying she was absolutely delighted. Founded in 2014, out of a partnership between South Durham and Sestria Girls and Durham University, the club has spent more than a decade in the second tier and built a reputation as one of the leading independent women's teams in the country, reaching FA Cup and League Cup quarter-finals, despite operating without the financial muscle of a Premier League or EFL affiliate club.
Rapist with explosive temper jailed for 30 years.
Gosh.
A Darlington rapist with an explosive temper has been given a 30-year jail sentence after breaking one woman's jaw and leaving another with missing front teeth. Darren Oxley, 53, left all three women deeply mentally scarred by his actions as a much younger man. Despite denials, Oxley of St Thomas Court was convicted by a jury of a total of 20 charges following an 11-day trial at court in March. They were 6 offences of rape, 3 of indecent assault, 2 of unlawful wounding, and 9 of assault causing actual bodily harm. Impact statements were given to the court in person by 2 of the women at a sentencing hearing on June 18th, and the other was read by prosecutor Graham O'Sullivan on behalf of the third victim. One said the physical and mental scars that Oxley inflicted on her remain with her for many years later. It has left her suffering PTSD and anxiety, and she still has flashbacks. As with one of the other women, she has self-harmed. She suffered fractures of the jaw at Oxley's hands and still has a phobia of anyone touching her face, while another suffered a fractured eye socket and one woman lost 2 front teeth. It was only thanks to therapy and support she received that encouraged her to go to the police to report his offending. Another victim said she was vulnerable at the time and not in a position to protect herself from the defendant. She suffered scars to her back from a screwdriver thrown at her by the defendant and still endures anxiety and panic attacks, with his offending having a long-term effect on her life. The other victim said when police knocked on her door as part of an investigation into Oxley's activities in 2023, I felt a wave of emotion that hit me like a tree. Victoria Lambal, in mitigation, said, as with the cases of other defendants convicted at trial, there's little that can be said on his behalf. Miss Lambal told the court, he's a very different man in middle age than he was when he was in his 20s. Judge Nathan Adams told Oxley, while you have moved on with your life in the intervening period, being described as helpful and kind, that is not what you were like when you were younger. These women have not been able to move on with their lives. Imposing consecutive sentences for the offences on each victim, totalling 30 years, the judge said it would have been 39 years, but for the principle of totality. The defendant must serve 2/3 of the sentence in custody before being released on licence. Given the length of the sentence, the judge did not think it necessary to put in place restraining orders or make Oxley subject to a sexual harm prevention order, but he will be subject to registration as a sex offender for life.